This morning's reading is taken from Mark chapter 4, verses 21 to 25. It's Mark chapter 4, 21 to 25. He said to them, "Do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let them hear. Consider carefully what you hear," he continued. "With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them."
I was reminded last week that I stood in the wrong place. I can see all of you up there. Can you see all of me? Well, that's okay. That's good. That's good. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it is with tremendous joy that we gather here this morning to celebrate the wonder of your creation. To be reminded of that heavenly banquet by the glorious volume of your creation, by everything that you produce. To also be reminded, Heavenly Father, that there are still places at that banqueting table, that no one will be turned away, that all can come to you just as we are, right here and right now. So Lord, open our hearts, open our minds by the power of your Holy Spirit and speak to us directly, right here and right now, and grant us wisdom and strength and courage and boldness and humility simply to respond. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Good morning. Since I've been with you, God has laid on my heart some pretty tough questions for you. And I have another one this morning. And it's this: how great is your commitment to the work of Jesus Christ in our world today? How great is your commitment? This morning is about commitment. And this passage is about harvest, yes. It's about many, many things. But ultimately, it's speaking directly into your hearts about your commitment in this place, at this time, to our Lord and our Savior. And I hope I'll be able to explain why to you. The first thing I want you to fix your eyes upon is this candle, okay? This is one of our candles. I'm not going to light it because we don't have any more and there could be another storm anytime, you know. So I'm going to put it up here, not irreverently, but it seems appropriate to put a light on the cross, doesn't it? I want you to consider this candle as we go through this sermon. Consider the candle. Consider what it is and what it does, how it works, all right? The passage is very strong in imagery. Mark 4 and verse 21, he said to them, "Is a lamp bought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light." Christ uses the imagery of light in many, many instances. And I want to show you a little piece of video which will illustrate that. Now, it's quite short, so you need to pay attention. It's about 19 seconds long. But I want you to take a look at this scene and what happens. Please play the first one. Thank you. said. What did the light do? It revealed. It completely revealed everything that was in darkness. I hope you can actually see it. Could you do it again? Can you play it again? Play that one again? It's a dark scene in the Nevada desert. And it's a sunrise. And what is unseen becomes visible. The beauty and splendor of God's creation, the grass, the rocks, the mountains, everything. Light is revealing. And Christ's light is the ultimate revelation in this world and in our lives. It shines in places that we perhaps don't want it to shine. It reveals things that perhaps we don't wish it to reveal. But nothing can be hidden. This light, Christ, will always shine. And the purpose of the little parable at the start of the passage is, of course, saying on the one hand that Christ is light, but on the other hand, that you are too. You too are light in this world. You too are light here in Darlingstown. We don't have to go far. You are light right here and right now. And we want that light to shine, and we want that light to be maintained, and we want that light to be informed, and we want that light to be encouraged to shine, and we want that light to move around in the darkness of our community, and we want it to enlighten at the same time. We need your light to shine. We need it to shine. And what Christ is saying here is that no one keeps their light hidden. He certainly hasn't kept his light hidden. He is revealing it to all the world. And what things that were secret are suddenly being revealed. And there's a reference there to him as to ultimately who he is. But he's also pointing directly at you and me and saying quite unequivocally, do you know who I am? Are you prepared to be light in the darkness of a world that requires to be enlightened? That's what he's asking. And he does it in such a powerful way. And when you see a piece of video like that and the world open up before you and the way in which light reveals, one can marvel at God's creation. We can look at God's creation and go, wow, Heavenly Father, you are an awesome creator God. Your light shines in this world, and often we don't recognize it for what it is. We don't see it because light is revealing. And I wonder at times, do we fully understand the nature of the light and the nature of the world in which we live? Perhaps it's got something to do with the fact that we don't always see things through the lens that is the light of Christ. Perhaps our perspective of our world and all its amazing wonder, all its fantastic creation, all its people is lost in us because we're looking at it from the ground up instead of the cross down. Perhaps we're missing out on a full appreciation of everything that he has created because we don't see things through the light of Jesus' eyes. And there's a small challenge there for you this morning. From which viewpoint are you viewing God's created universe? His universe. Where are you looking at it from? Are you looking at it from the cross, where he died, where he bled, where he suffered, and giving explanation to everything that came before and everything that will come after? Because the centrality of Jesus Christ in Scripture is universal. yet often we don't see him. Jesus Christ is the answer to the big question mark, why in our world? It is Jesus. The answer to how is Jesus. He explains everything. There is nothing that brings truth and greater perspective and understanding to the created order of this world other than the person of Jesus Christ. He is central and absolute and fundamental. Yet often, we don't see what he has revealed. His light shines. And the challenge this morning is for you to light your light in the power of Jesus Christ and let it shine. And you let it shine, you in your small corner and I in mine. You know it. Jesus bids us shine. That's one thing. Consider the light. The second thing is consider the message. Consider the message. Pay attention to what you hear, he says in verse 24. In some translations, consider carefully what you hear. To pay attention to and to consider carefully requires a proactive response. We must carefully consider. We must pay attention to this astonishing, life-giving gospel. We must pay attention. And it thereafter requires a response. Those who hear the gospel of Jesus Christ can't be neutral. We can't be Switzerland. We can't be Switzerland. We must respond to it. I'll respect you if you say it's a load of rubbish. I'll respect you more if you embrace it and live it. But you cannot be neutral. There is no fence sitting. You cannot be Switzerland. And one must pay careful attention to this message because of its pricelessness, its beauty, its strength, its life-giving emission, its life-transforming abilities. We must pay attention. If you look at the second piece of video now, you'll get what I mean.
Das hier ist mein Sektor.
Das hier ist das wichtigste Gerät des Christgewächters.
Das Gerät, das Gerät.
Überlebensradar.
We must pay attention, lest we misunderstand the message. It's a very powerful message. We can't afford to mess it up. We can't afford to misinterpret. We can't afford thereafter to tell it on and get it wrong. We just can't. And while that responsibility, I suppose most obviously, falls on people like Simon and myself, when we come and stand here, it falls on every single one of us in the way in which we live our daily lives. That message, that essential wonder and life-giving essence of that message is so precious that we can't afford to be willy-nilly about it. We can't afford to be casual about it. We must be wholly committed. We've got to go for it. And then the call to carefully consider and to pay attention is an inference to go deeper. To go deeper. The deepest part of our planet is the Mariana Trench. It's almost 7 miles down. And there's a I've seen a picture. There's a can of Spam and a bottle of Budweiser beer resting 4,994 metres down on the side of the mountain as it goes down. So even we as man have polluted to that depth this amazing creation that God gave us. We've polluted to that depth. It's 7 miles down. Took your man James Cameron, you remember the guy who filmed did the Titanic film? Took him 90 minutes to descend 7 miles to get to the bottom. We need to go deeper than that with Jesus Christ. That's what this call is for. That's why we need to pay attention. That's why we need to carefully consider. That's why we need to take responsibility for this incredible message. And we need to live it. And we need to understand its nuances. We need to carefully consider. We can't simply be dismissive of it or careless with it. You wouldn't in other areas of your lives that you make commitments to. You simply wouldn't. Why should it be any different with the most precious life-giving message the world has ever known? He answers the why. He answers the how. He's central to the scripture. Therefore, we must embrace him and we must be fully committed to him. 100%. I love it when people say 150%. You can't do that. All right? 100%. We must be fully committed to the message. Which brings me back to the candle. Because the means in which I would light that candle is with a match. The match in our lives is Jesus Christ. And then the candle begins to burn. And if I were to light that candle now, and barring another Storm Ophelia or Storm Brian, we just had Brian. Did you like that? Storm Brian, like who comes up with this? I want to call a storm Brian. Right? But barring a storm Brian or Ophelia, that light will continue to shine. Until when? Until it consumes itself. Until it has expended itself. That light selflessly gives of itself until it's done. It doesn't get lit on Sunday and blown out at Sunday lunchtime. It doesn't get lit on Sunday and get blown out on Monday, keeping itself really good for next Sunday. It gets lit and it would stay lit faithfully until it has expended itself completely. And the requirement of those following Jesus Christ is perfectly simple. We cannot be Switzerland when we hear the message. We have to respond. And if we respond in the way in which he wants us, and we give our lives to Jesus Christ, that light is lit, and it will not go out until he calls us home. Rather, it shouldn't. It shouldn't go out until he calls us home. It needs to shine. It needs to expand itself. It needs to live life fully. It needs to banish mediocrity in its life. It needs to not settle for second best. It needs to give of itself fully all of the time. It needs to have energy and power and might, drawing on the one central figure from where it is all come, where it all comes from. Jesus. And as you look at all this amazing stuff which he created and used us to grow, we're reminded of the banquet, this heavenly banquet. And there's always, always, always room at the table for anyone who has not yet responded to the invitation. You are welcome. And when you respond, your light is lit. Do not let it go out. Do not shy away from giving of yourselves to the glory of his kingdom. Just here. Don't worry about going too far. Just here. Let it shine here. And I promise you, in fact, I don't need to promise you, Scripture promises us, those who are attracted to the light will increase. They will increase. We will see change that will blow your minds. We will be transformed. Our community will be transformed. Economics can't do it. Politics can't do it. There's nothing else in all creation that can change this world other than you and me, humble, simple people, ordinary people, responding and lighting our lights and accepting Jesus Christ in our lives and taking him into the world and transforming it. Lighting it up. So let's light up our community. If you want your light to be lit, come forward at the end of the service for prayer. If you want your light strengthened, come forward at the end of the service for prayer. If you want your light, or you felt it has dimmed for some reason or other, come forward at the end of the service and have some prayer. Reignite the light in your lives. Commit to it. Change our community. Grow his kingdom. And never rest until he calls you home. Let your light shine. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are an awesome God. You are right here, right now, in our midst, and we acknowledge your mighty presence. We praise your name. We ask you, Lord, to fill us through the power of your Spirit with such a commitment to do your work in this place that our light will burn and shine brightly until it can't any more. Then we'll be with you. We praise you and we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, the power and majesty of his word, our helper, the Holy Spirit. And we acknowledge your sovereignty in our lives, in this place, at this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.